Well, this is a Rickly day today. He announced he's preaching tonight, so I said, it's going to be a Rickly day today. Rickety day today. Thank you, Brother Rick. Amen. It's going to be a rickety day today. Well, that's a blessing. I sure miss my preacher. I just sooner hear him preach as me. But thankful for the opportunity and grateful for my church. And I appreciate each one of you. Thank you for praying this past week while I was down in Commerce, Georgia. Rock of Ages meets there, and we've turned it into a refreshment week, trying to get folk refocused on a new year. And then Brother Ellis came down, and I mean, he cleaned our plows down to they wasn't but bare metal. And I am grateful. And the men that spoke down there and talked, I'm telling you, this old boy got some help. And I'm grateful for that time together. And when the preacher goes off down to these conferences right there, he's going for exactly the same thing. Preachers need help. There's a lot of proud, cocky men today that don't think they need it. But I need preaching. And I'm grateful for my preacher that preaches and preaches this book and helps me in a lot of areas of my life. And that's what's needed in our nation. So many are waning by the wayside and shifting. I'm talking about old men shifting. And that bothers me to see them travel through life so far and then they start turning away from the book. Yes. Doctrines in this book. And just right living. They want to bring that world in here. I don't want none of that world out there in here. It's where I come to get help, and I sure don't need no more of that mess help that they so-called got out there. It drug me down. it will destroy you. All that's in the world, the Bible says. All that's in the world. And the lust thereof. And so thankful this time. Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians this morning. If you would, in chapter number 3. Enjoyed the Sunday school this morning, Brother David. Thank you for it. Makes a difference when you go to Sunday school hour and you get some stuff that'll help you there as well. Thessalonians, Paul's writing to the church there in Thessalonica. And got some help out of this little book of Thessalonians. It's I want to share with you today on chapter number 3. Paul said several times down through here a phrase that caught my attention. And a little word of the no longer could forbear. And that little phrase there kind of caught my attention. He says it in verse number 1. Then he says it down into another spot down there in verse number 5, could no longer forbear. So I was thinking about this, and he's writing, and he's trying to encourage the church. He's trying to straighten the church out. And Paul was a missionary, right? Apostle, sent out one. He was a church planter. He went out and planted church. I'm a missionary. I don't plant churches in the prison house. Come on. Now, there is a church inside the prison house. You better mark that down. God knows what he's doing. I'm talking about a congregation inside that place. They sometimes don't have a preacher and a pastor for them, but they're looking for those to come in. They need help. I'm glad I'm able to go and help. But I'm not a pastor. Let's turn the words around on this little bit here. I thought about the forbearer's longing. What do you think the preacher thinks about when he stands to preach the Word of God? I mean, you come and gathered here today and I'm hoping you're looking for something today, not from me. I'm hoping you're looking for something from this Bible. That'll be a desire. I don't come to see what you're wearing. I don't come to see how you looking or nothing like, hey, I come to this place right here because old Rick Hildebrand needs help. There's a lot of self-righteous people. You don't come to get help. You just come to check off on your list and say, I showed up for church on Sunday. You'll be the Sunday morning glory. You got it 11, you'll be closed at 12, and that's enough for you. Come on, don't put a smile on your face. It ain't that bad. Truth hurts sometimes. I'm glad, as I've said so many times, I didn't like church, didn't want to come to church, I didn't want to have anything that hoopla la, hooting and hollering. That's all I thought it was. But I'm glad God made a difference on that football field over at Catawba College, and He sent me that little Baptist church up there at Cleveland up there that Mr. Bartlett started helping this old boy down in the basement of that church and caused me to have a desire and a hunger for this Bible. There ain't nobody knocked on my door ever since besides the Jehovah Witnesses. I like them two boys too. I try to crank them up. I'm like Mr. Bartley was. He was an agitator to me, and I'm going to be an agitator to them. They don't know what's on the other side of the door. Amen. Try to make a difference. When I study my Bible, I study my Bible for me. I've said that time and time again. I'm saying it to you. This Bible's for old Rick Hildebrand. I'm going to give you a little bit of overflow today as on my heart. When I go to prison, there's a desire when I go there, a desire that what God's gave me out of this Bible that has done a work inside this pile of mess that you're looking at. If God knows how to take them words and make a change inside of me, them same words can make a change in somebody else. That's a longing that's on the inside of that one that's forbearing. That word forbear means to pause, to delay, to just to bear it up for a while. We've come together here this morning to pause a while, to wait a while. Some of you want to forbear today, right? For the preacher. But the longing is that should be down inside of every heart here this morning. A longing that something is down inside. That's an earnest desire. An earnest desire or having a craving, an appetite. I know most of y'all sitting here today, you don't eat one meal a day, do you? I don't either. I like food. I'm longing for some groceries just in a little while here. I'm going to go eat. I might be a little mid-afternoon snack when I get back to the house. There might be another little snack before I come back to this house. I'm saying that's a desire, that's a longing. There will be something, if we have an appetite to eat, there will be an appetite, spiritual appetite on the inside of a desire that you have in some wanting something from God, something that you're craving for down in your soul. Paul writes in verse number 1, therefore when we can no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborers in the gospel of Christ to establish you, to comfort you, comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that you should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, at lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain.
But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and the charity that ye have, good remembrance of us, always desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our afflictions and distresses by your faith. For now we live, if we stand fast in the Lord, for what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your faces and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God Himself and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one for another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Let's have a word of prayer, and let's ask Father to help us just for a little while. Lord, we sure love You. Thank You for this time that You've given us in the house of God. We sure desire, my Father, Lord, that You would bless all those, dear Lord, that are sick and suffering. It's already been prayed, dear Lord. Our hearts that same way. There's some would be sitting here this morning, but Father, because of sickness and different things, dear Lord, they're not here. And we ask, our Father, that You just bless them with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Now, Father, we've gathered here today. These have sitting here in the sound of my voice. I ask You, my Father, that these words, dear Father, that You've placed in my heart, dear Lord, as we bear our heart this morning to this congregation, I pray, Father, that You do a work like You worked in me, dear Father, that You can work in them and make difference in our lives together, as all of our thoughts could be, that to this end we may establish Your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father of our Father, and at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask You, our Father, that You would do that in a very special way. Bless our preacher today, our Father. Do a work in him as well as he's there in the land. We ask, our Father, that the messages, dear Lord, and those things that be said this week, dear Lord, would encourage our preacher, Lord, to build him up in his most holy faith, dear Father, and meet a need, dear Lord, that he has in his own personal life. And we shall be grateful to praise You and thank You for what You accomplish and do in him. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. As we look at this chapter here today, I want to be this help to you. As he lays out some things in these passages of Scripture, I just want to give to you as God gave them to me. Down in verses number 2 and 5, he sent it to Timotheus, our brother, the minister of God, and our fellow laborers in the gospel of Christ to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. I am glad that God knows how to do that through preaching of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith that will endure. We're seeing so many people just kind of want to wane by the wayside these days, but Paul had a concern for the church there. He had a concern. They understood of his persecution, and most people they lay back and said, "Man, I don't want no persecution, man. Don't give me none of that stuff. I just want life to be an easy way to travel." But I'm telling you, if a man gonna live godly in Christ Jesus, he shall suffer persecution. Paul had that concerning here among this crowd here. He said, "I want a faith. I said, I want to see your faith that will endure. That will make difference in all of our lives." The verse number 2 there is a beginning phase. He said, "Establish you." There will be something in every one of us that we want to be at Sunday school. We ought to be want to be at preaching on Sunday morning. We ought to want to be at preaching on Sunday night. We ought to have a desire to be on Wednesday night. And whenever they call for a revival meeting, there ought to be a hunger inside of you. I want to establish my faith. I'm grateful for the beginning faith that took place over August the 5th, 1975. I had a little dab of something over there that believed about God and about Jesus Christ. But what God birthed inside of me that night, He increased my faith to put my trust totally in Him. A faith that should be inside of every child of God or every person sitting here this morning. You might have a faith that is called you to salvation. You might have that faith, but you might be sitting here today. You might be sitting like old Hildebrand did way back there. You might be sitting right here with some doubts in your mind. There will not be a doubt in any child of God's mind who God is. God wants a faith. Every last one of us got to grow in it. I had a little dab of something, and that thing's been continuing on growing down here. Now that it's 40-some years, and I've been grateful what God has accomplished here. Acts 16:5, and so were the churches established in faith and increased in number daily. Romans 1:11 says, For I long to see you, that you may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you might be established in your faith. God, our desire is that God will impart some spiritual gifts here today that our lives can be established. Oh, Peter, he spoke up in 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter number 1. He said, wherefore I will not be neglected to put you in always in remembrance of these things, so though you know them and be established in your present truth. Truth. We talked about in Sunday school there, this Bible that we hold in our hand is the truth of God. Makes no difference what the world thinks about it. Makes no difference what individuals think about it. Hey, God established it, and it is standing today in this King James Bible, unless you have a question in your mind. God knows what He's doing to establish us in our faith, and He wants us to have a continual building of our faith. He says that He said, I want to comfort you concerning your faith. That comfort there is a meaning of confidence. There will be every one of us building every day, every time we enter like God's house, and I'm talking about every day. You know what I mean? That you're sitting at your house and hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and you said, open thou my eyes, I might be whole wondrous things out of our law. There will be a hunger in this Bible, not just to be able to say anything, no, a hunger that you want something from God's Word that you build your faith on, that will anchor you in. Because the Spirit of God, He said, that He gave to us, that comforter, He said, that I'm going to send to you is that one that give us confidence inside of us. Jude 20 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, that is what God has a desire for, that the Spirit of God moves in, that the hunger ought to be, have an appetite, that it drives you back to your Bible. Day by day. Not just get that thing up there, dust the cover off and get it out of your back of your truck or your car back there and bring it in there and say, bless me if you can. You ought to be coming in here with so much God on you, and you're bubbling over. You're blessing everybody else around you because you got something bubbling up inside of you. You've been with Jesus all week, and you have your heart lifted up, and you say, preach, preacher, preach, and sit back there. Boy, he's a fanatic. Yeah. Every last one of us ought to be a fanatic. Yeah. It ain't just God gives certain gifts out. He does give certain gifts out for the church. But I'm saying it is that He gives the Holy Ghost out to measure out to every person. Everyone is the same. The gift of the Holy Ghost is exactly the same inside every vessel. God is no respecter of a person. But He's rich into all that call upon His name. We want to have a desire to God that God build us up. And continue on building us. Philippians 1 in verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he that begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Boy, I got that confidence that what God started, I had that memory still fresh in my mind of Tuesday night, August the 5th, 1975. It's your salvation that fresh in your heart and your life. Walking down through these corridors of time, it ought to be that God is continuing on there, knowing that God is doing the work in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure, not yours. Amen. A building up of your faith. That enduring faith. that established faith. That word there, he talked about being perfected. That down in verse number 5 and verse number 10, being perfect. God wants to perfect something inside of us. And the only way he can do it in our lives is to yield ourselves to him day by day. You remember Jesus, he said it time and time again, he wanted to go do some things over in Capernaum. What did he say about that crowd over in Capernaum? He said, I can do no mighty works in Capernaum. Why? Because of their unbelief. You'd be amazed if God had flipped the light switch on this crowd sitting here this morning. I'm looking at all of us. Point no fingers in no direction. I'm not saying I got two thumbs stuck back at me. If you know if God flipped what's going on down inside of me right here, you'd probably get up and walk out. But I'm saying God knows how to establish our faith. He wants to have it perfected inside of us, a maturity, a constant maturity that he wants to build up day by day, making that difference inside of us. He says, night and days, praying for thee exceedingly that you might see your faces and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Do you ask God this morning before you come to church? Lord, you know what I need. And I feel sure some of y'all got up and you got yourself your own spiritual examination, right? You should. Today, the doctor's only thing they do is practice. Some of y'all folks know that Miss Judy urged me to go down to urgent care down there to get checked out because I wasn't feeling good on the inside right there. She said, you're not leaving here till you get checked out. I ain't getting you down there to have a good phone call. Well, I went to two places. And the one old preacher doesn't call me. He said, he healed a man. He said, I know they never found one thing, did they? I said, you're exactly right. He said, there ain't nothing up there. It's called a practice. I went to two spots. One said I had something bad. I knew I needed to get something checked out. My EKG didn't look right and said, you look like you've had a heart attack, boy. Mr. said, she said, calm down. We're going to send you right down to the emergency room. Folded up my little EKG reading out right here, and I folded up, stuck it down in my pocket. I go off down to the other, the big hospital down there with the big doctors down there, where they got the big ER down there. And they stick me on the bed, and they run an EKG, and a little nurse come out there and says, sir, so I'm just a nurse. She was a member of Tabernacle Baptist Church over here. She knows who it was. I'm glad God's got certain folks all over the place. She looks at Brother Hildebrand. She said, I've looked at a lot of these things. She said, but I'm telling you, I can't see nothing here. Oh, they go through all the blood tests and do all those things and x-rays and then they do all these things and they go back in there and they make me take my clothes off. They want nothing wrong with me. Why they want me in ICU with no clothes on? And then do nothing. Stretch out on the bed. And the doc came in there and just leaned up against the wall. And said exactly the same thing the nurse said. So we checked out everything. There is nothing. What am I trying to say here this morning? I'm saying the professionals take a look at things and try to search out and see if there's anything wrong inside of us. And it seems like there's nothing going on. I might die of a heart attack 2 seconds from now. I don't know. Hey, that's the way they work things out these days. You might come out with a good thing right here. Oh, so God's going to take you out here. But I'm saying this to us this morning. An examination that we come in this place right here that the sweet Holy Ghost of God takes the Word of God. X-rays. Amen. EKGs. Yes. How your heart this morning is. Has our heart had a heart attack? Hard attack? I'm saying the longing of the forebearer is that he has this thing to establish people in faith. And it makes that difference inside when this book is open. It is an X-ray book. It is a EKG book. It is all that runs us up and down, checks us totally out in our spiritual understanding. And where are we sitting at today? The psalmist David says, as for God, His way is perfect. The Word of God is tried, and He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. So what I had to do with all those doctors that came down through that one total lie, and I had to go down there and get to some truth. Does God know? God knows. You come to the best physician. He ain't going to mealy-mouth around no bush. He's going to lay it out just as you have need of it if you're listening to that comforter. Ephesians 4 says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ, that we may henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but by the sly of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait. Like what David said in the Sunday school hour. Just run across a couple words in there that he brought out there to try to get some discussion going on in there. And every man will have his own thoughts about those things. But you better mark some things down. God gave us the comfort of the Holy Ghost of God. And the flags don't fly. I'm talking about flags down your soul. When somebody runs across something that just ain't right, I promise you, the Holy Ghost is number one. He's first place, and the flag will fly. If the Holy Ghost is down in there. As a lot have not the Holy Ghost. Sitting, they got Baptistology. I'm looking at you. I don't know who you are or what's going on in here, but I'm saying this, the truth in this building right here. There's a lot of got into traditions of Baptistology, and you come and you smile and you sing and you got all the right actions about things right there. But Jesus said to that crowd over there, the Pharisees, He said, you make white the outside, but inside you're full of dead man's bones. There's no fellowship of God. There's no faith flourishing inside of you. Some of you won't even give the faith promise because your faith is not big enough, no more than your tithe. You like to talk about money this morning, Mr. Hildebrand. Well, I'll just say this and move on down the road. If God ain't got this, He ain't got you either. God got it all. I didn't know nothing about tithing. I didn't know nothing about giving. I didn't know nothing about that. But down in the basement of that little Southern Baptist church up there, Mr. Burley told me how to give. It's all His anyway. Because I gave Him me. When I gave Him me, everything I got on is given by Him. It don't make no difference. It has to come from goodwill. He knows where they are, all decked out for old Hildebrand, his side, his way side, his him side. And I walk in there and come walking out because somebody thought some way. And I don't have to pay $300, I can just pay $8.50. And His servant is satisfied. Satisfied. That's a faith that believing God is, and He's a rewarder, a rewarder, a rewarder of them that will diligently seek Him. Number two, he wants this thing of faith that it endures. He wants a love that is secure. Down in verse number six, a love that is secure. There will be something down inside of us. He said, but now when Timotheus come from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that ye having good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also of you. That little word charity there is more than just affections about something. No, them people had something down inside of them. They wanted to do everything they could do for Apostle Paul. They loved the man, but they said, everything, anything you need, preacher, we want to help you. That's a sincere love. That's a secure love. That ain't nothing that the world, this system in this old world right here, can't distort it in all the lust thereof. Verse 6, the last part of that thing, he says, he talked about that remembrance, having a good remembrance. I wonder what people remember you by. You are remembered by some way or something, accident in your life. You better mark that down. You portray it. You are it. It's what you are all the time. It is that you cause people to remember you by, whatever you are. But there will be something down inside of every child of God, as it was his church, as it was with the Apostle Paul, that one that was forbearing, and there will be a memory, an excited memory, and say, hey, are you preaching? Are you coming to stay at our house? We get a lot of phone calls at the Rock of Ages up there about some of our missionaries. And we get these phone calls that says, we are sure appreciative about this Rock of Ages crowd, how they come in and stay in a prophet's chambers, and sometimes they go and stay in homes and people's house, and they come back with comments of saying, man, these people are different. But we also get phone calls up there at the Rock of Ages about families that come in that have no love for the church. The only love they had is for themselves. They'll come in and use and abuse. Are you listening? Our house, Miss Darren, some of you know that our house has a key hid on the outside, and the pastor knows where it's at, the roofers knows where it's at, and folks come in and stay at our house all the time when we ain't there. Our house is God's house, and it's open to whomever but a few. Miss Judy has marked off several that ain't coming back to Hildebrand house. Abuse. Oh, I know some of you, you like your dogs and your cats and all that other hairy creature animals that you carry around your house. Oh, they so cute. I remember one time there was an animal stayed in our house. You remember that time, Miss Teresa? You remember that time I was raising them little pigs? I had that old sow hog. She had about 15 little ones. And there's one little old fella. I mean, son, I watch him every day. That little dude was about, he was about scratching everything he could do, and he was trying to get in there where he gets a mama. And all them others, his little piled up there, he's already growing up, swelling up, and this little dude getting smaller and smaller. And I told mama, I said, this little fella right here, he's gonna die if I don't get him out from that mess down there. So I scooped the little pig up, brought him up to Hildebrand house. Started bottle feeding that little devil, and he just started giving. And Miss Shirley sitting right over yonder. That little pig would follow mama around all over that house. And that little pig come up there, you know, like dogs and cats do. That little pig would come up there and sit down at mama's feet. She don't even remember none of that now. Raise that little pig up. Turned him outside when he got up big enough he could be up, turned outside, and he run around with the dogs. That pig run the bottoms out just like a dog run a bottom out. I just remember the only animal that ever come into mama's house. Listen to me. You can have whatever you want in your house. But if you go in somebody else's house and they don't have them critters running around their house, don't you drag your little critter into their house. Common sense. What am I saying? There will be a memory that lasts. There will be something inside of us that we have a desire that I want my memory, have a joyful memory. I want my memory that affects others and not drive others away. I want my memory to have a desire as they were, that they remembered him and they couldn't hardly wait till Apostle Paul came back. A love that secures. A memory that lasts, a growth that is constant. That verse number 12, something that is constantly making increase, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love of one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. A love. Something that has that constant growth inside of everyone that is a believer. David said in Psalm 115, he said, "I will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord will increase you more and more, and you and your children, and you are blessed of the Lord that make heaven and earth your God." Holiness. A constant growth in holiness. There's a thing out there, down in verse number, come on back, verse number 12 down there, you're bound in love one toward another. There will be something inside of us that we have a desire that we'll have a holy life. He's talking about in verse number 7, of this holiness. Then in verse number 9, he talked about a brotherly love, that is only taught by God, for what thanks can we render unto God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sake before our God. He said, there's something inside of us that is exciting us, and you folks are the one that cranked me up about this love. That it will be something of a brotherly love. It keeps on rendering a studying to be quiet down in verse number 11. A studying to keep your mouth shut sometimes. A quiet and meek spirit. Now God Himself and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you. That desire of there that he had this joy coming up, and he said, I want God to send me back to you because of something going on over in the church. And that walking honestly before all men, he said there in verse number 12, one having love one toward another and toward all men as we do towards you. There will be that when you come to the house of God. You ask God, Lord, build me up, having a desire. I want what that Bible says I have need of in my own personal life. A love that is secure. A love that lasts. A love that grows. A love that has a concern too. Look at verse number 12. And the Lord increase and bound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. How many times he say toward? Toward. To you ward. To. To. I have something to you. Psalms 86:13 says, "For great is thy mercies toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." Romans 8:5-8. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Thessalonians 4, that one chapter over, verse number 12, that ye may walk worthy toward them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing. There will be something inside of us. If the love's going to grow, there will be something growing inside of us that is not loving you self-centered somebody. It is toward somebody else. It is a mindset that my thoughts are toward others instead of just centered around you and your little pile of mess. A lot of times we find this out, and we we're starting this thing in our ministry right here. We're starting to have an outward mindset. That book that I've talked about, we started development among our directors and executive staff has got a hold of it, and God has birthed some things inside of us that if we're going to get our eyes off of Rock of Ages. starting to lift our eyes and look at these institutions that are all across our nation right here that are short staffed, that can't keep officers inside there, drugs and everything that are flowing like a river inside there. And somebody has to get an outward mindset and say, how can I help stop up the trouble? God's given us some good men that I am grateful for. That God allow me just to be a little dab apart of them boys over there. I'm talking about a concern toward others. What are you doing for others today? Others. Did you come to church looking for others? How many did you bring in your vehicle today to help some others? To get to the same place that you had a desire for, you say you had a desire for to come in here. Come on.
That's why we got them buses out there for.
Really? Well, why ain't you on one of them buses that leave out about 8:30 on Sunday morning for others? I'll go out and visit and see if you can find some others that need to be in the house of God. Others. Them for others. One more page, Miss Judy. It's five after. She's got a stopwatch on me. Verse number 13. We'll hurry up. Verse number 13, last verse. We are right down. I got to the last verse, so we must be getting pretty close, ain't we? And the end may be established, your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of His saints. That your heart may be established. What does it take to have a heart that is established? The only way you can be able to establish unblameable and holiness before God, it is God and God alone that knows how to take a sinner's heart and totally transform it and make it totally different than you thought it ever could be. You say, I, that's what I always thought. I can't do nothing like that stuff. I like Bud Soup and I like Mr. Jack Daniels. I like all that other stuff and I wasn't supposed to be messing around. And the world's time, but I said, turn it to God and say, I can't. No, I couldn't. Thank God a mama prayed me down to a little 10-yard line of football field and set this whole boy up. That one message, one service, had a one change life. God knows how to do it. We don't know how to do it. God does. Established by God. Psalms verse number 7, chapter number 7, verse number 9. Oh, let the wicked come to an end. But establish the just and the righteous. God trieth the hearts and reins. Psalm 40, this is one of my favorites right there. When he picked me up out of that horrible pit, and he brought me up out of that horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a solid rock, and established my going. And put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Thank God for what God's able to do. I can do nothing. God's done it all. And all I had to do says, here am I, Lord. Do a work in me. I can't do it. And God did it all. He said, give me the established heart is established by God. It's also established in holiness. As we read that passage of scripture right there. And to this end, you may be established in your hearts, unblameable in holiness before God. That's what grinds in this old man's life and heart of the ungodly, unholy living among God's people today. Unholy. Listen, it's more than just a dress you wear. Although, it depicts what's on your heart. Are you listening to me, children? God brought me down to these passages of Scripture right here in my own personal life. And it's more than some preacher coming down through there and get all these do's and don'ts and said, bless God this, God that, bless God this over here, bless God this over here. No. His God has blessed. And I have no desire. I want the furthest thing from this whole world. I don't want to walk like it. I don't want to talk like it. I don't want to spit like it. I don't think nothing wrong with it. Sorry, Tony. Been praying for you. It makes no difference who it cuts. I hear even right here. If God opened this Bible right here, and that word holiness is there, is who God is. It ain't me. It ain't some scale I'm trying to line up. No, it's God Himself. And if I want to be like God, I want to look like my Father. I want to act like my Father. I want to have my attitude of my Father. I want to do everything my Father does. Having holiness. Psalms 29:2 says, give unto God the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's why I'm saying to you that if you didn't come prepared for this time to meet with God, to worship Him, sorry lies on your door. There ought to be a hunger down inside of every child of God. It's just a building, but we're coming together. We gather together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. What to do? To worship Him, to hear from Him. And when we gather together in this place right here, there ought to be a desire. There ought to be a hunger inside of there to come to meet with God in the beauty of holiness. The beauty of it. Not my way, His way. A heart established by God in holiness, in love, verse number 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, toward all men, even as we do towards you. A love. The Father's love. That's the reason why I know the Holy Ghost of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. The love of God, excuse me, is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And the problem of it is, we've got all the Holy Ghost that we're going to get from God. But the niche right here is, how much does He have of you? And me. That's the important question you got to ask yourself. Are you a sport brat? How many of y'all like to be hanging around sport brats? They kick and scream and holler and kick against mom and daddy, and they do everything against, because they want it their way. Huh? You don't like them. Don't sit there and say you do. Y'all, they're my grandchildren. Really? Really? If you didn't raise your children no better than that, get back to the book. You probably need some of your children to come and sit down with you as he did with me and Miss Judy and straighten us out about them grandbabies. He said this phrase. He said, what was good for me whenever y'all raised me up has not changed, Mom and Daddy. He said, I took what you raised us and the principles you raised me on, even though I kicked it aside for a while, it drove me back to the place Mama and Daddy were right, because it's out of the book.
There will be a love that establishes us one toward another and abounding in our hearts and our lives. Deuteronomy 6 and 5 says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That's just to us adults. You teenagers don't have to live by that. That's just for mom and daddy. I ain't got time to get into it. We run into a principle down there in our meeting. A principle of transfer. Your son's not here driving a truck right here this morning. I thought that was pretty good, a transfer. He drives a transfer truck. What is that transfer? He hauls things from one place to the other, deliver a load. Some of us parents have not delivered the load. What God's given us, we've not learned to transfer it to our children. They're just mimicking us. They're riding in the back seat, mimicking us. Got to move on. Romans 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, and which is given to us freely. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 22, seeing ye have purified your soul in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Don't be a hypocrite about it. Love God. Love the saints. Love to be around God's folk. If you don't like me, I've said this time and time again. It's just the thing about it. I believe God has something down inside of Him that He's building those mansions up there. And I don't know about whether we're just going to go up there and pick yours out or not. I believe the Father's going to pick it out for you. And down here on this piece of dirt down here, you might not like me or something like that right there. He might put your door down, maybe two doors down, just to live old Hildebrand for throughout eternity. Won't we have a time when we get there? I am, and I hope you do. But the love of God's got to be shed abroad in your heart by that same Holy Ghost that has tuned and straightened me up. And I have a longing for you that will tune you up. You'll be able to live for Him. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He's washed it white as snow. Amen. I stand to our feet. Father, thank You.